This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Recording in progress.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihil kareem, rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri, wahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli, Allahumma ihdi qalbi wa saddid lisani waslul saqimata qalbi amin ya rabbal alamin. Wa idha sa'alaka 'ibadi 'anni fa inni qareeb. And when my slaves ask you about me, then indeed I am near. Ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'an. I respond to the call of the caller, the supplication of the da'i, the one who is calling upon Allah, إِذَا دَعَانِي, when they call upon me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, so they should respond to me and they should believe in me, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, in order that they may be rightly guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us over here that He is near, that He responds. So we should also respond to Allah, because Allah says, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, they should respond to me. How? How should we respond to Allah? This means that we should obey Allah and we should also talk to Allah, meaning we should call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah commands us in the Quran that ud'uni, you all call upon me. So فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي means that فَلْيَدْعُونِي, they should obey me, as in they should call upon me. They should make dua to me. That when they're in some difficulty, when they're feeling shame, when they're feeling guilt, when they are in need of something, they shouldn't just sit like that. No, they should do something. And the best thing that a person can do is that they should call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, you forgive me. Ya Allah, you guide me. Ya Allah, you provide. Ya Allah, you heal me. You show me the way. So, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي means that they should call upon Allah. They should make dua to Allah. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي also means that they should hope for response from Allah. That they should hope for and they should seek response, ijaba, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning they should not be hasty. When they make dua, they should wait for Allah's response. Because sometimes it so happens that when we make dua, we want that it should be immediately fulfilled, that we should immediately see the result. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us over here that فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, they should seek my response, meaning they should wait for the response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should not become impatient. And look at the next word, وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, they should believe in me, meaning they should trust Allah, His timing, His decree. And فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, meaning we should expect the response from Allah alone. And in order to expect a good response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to our du'as, then we should look at the way that we are calling upon Allah. How is it that we are making du'a? So remember that there are etiquette of making du'a. And today, inshallah, we are going to discuss the internal and the external etiquette that we should observe when we call upon Allah. Now, a lot of people think that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to us, if He answers our, you know, to our du'as, then this means that He should give us exactly what we have asked for. And the fact is that there is a difference between istijaba and qubul. Istijaba is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to our du'as. He answers. He does not ignore. And qubul is that He accepts the du'as exactly as they are. So remember that every du'a is mustajab. it is responded to, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says over here, ujibu, I respond, I answer. So every dua is answered, it is responded to, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares. But not every dua is fulfilled the way that you have asked. For example, if there is a person who is unwell and they go to the doctor and they seek treatment and they ask the doctor that, please give me this medication. I want prescription for this medication, or I want this procedure. Then what will the doctor do? The doctor will check them. They will probably run some tests, but they will not necessarily give to the patient what the patient is asking for. Meaning, they will not necessarily give the very medication that the patient is asking for. They will not necessarily give the treatment, the procedure that the patient is seeking. No, the doctor will give what the doctor believes is best for the patient and right for the patient. And so often it happens that, you know, when you go to the doctor and the doctor prescribes to you something that, you know, you never thought you needed, or sends you for a test which you don't think you needed. But why do you accept what the doctor is telling you? Because you recognize that the doctor knows better than I do. And the doctor, you know, their knowledge, their experience is far greater than mine. So if this is the case with human beings, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, remember that Allah Azza wa Jal, He knows us better than we know ourselves or anyone else knows us. And Allah Azza wa Jal is Alim and He is Rahim. So He gives to the slave what is best for the slave. So we should call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without haste, and we should call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the proper etiquette, with the right manner, so that our du'as are accepted. And we should trust the response that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. Meaning the way that He responds to our du'as is the best response. So we should accept His judgment, His decree, and we should be pleased with it. Now, when it comes to the etiquette of making du'a, the manners, remember that, you know, for any matter, you know, there is a proper procedure. So for example, if you are submitting an application to get into a program, let's say you want to apply for a master's program, then you don't just, you know, fill out a form. You have to write something about yourself, or you have to write something explaining why you want to get into that program. And to make your application very strong, you need good reference letters. So you see among your professors, among your, you know, people that you know, who could give you a very good letter of recommendation. And along with that, you know, you submit some resume, something, you know, that demonstrates all the work you have been doing, your experience, etc. Why? Because you want to make your application very strong. And the stronger your application is, the stronger, you know, the greater chances there will be of your acceptance into the program. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears all du'as. He responds to all du'as. And we should be certain of that, because Allah Himself is telling us. But when we want that our du'as should be given more importance, then we need to invest more in our du'as. And how do we invest more in our du'as? By observing proper etiquette, good etiquette in making du'a. So for example, you know, salah, when you perform salah with iman, you know, with belief in Allah, yes, you know, that salah counts. But in a hadith, we learned that so many people, you know, when they pray, they only receive a certain percentage of reward of that salah, you know, a tenth of it, a fifth of it. You know, why? Because that reward is in proportion to their khushur, their humility, their focus, their attentiveness in salah. So just like that, If we want to be rewarded for our du'as, and if we want our du'as to be effective, and we want our du'as to draw us closer to Allah, because remember, the real fruit of du'a is closeness to Allah. And du'a is ibadah, it is worship. If we want it to be accepted, then we need to observe certain etiquette, internally and externally. Internally, meaning what is the state of our heart? What are the thoughts in our mind? And externally, how do we look like when we are making du'a? What is our physical manner? Meaning, where our eyes, where our hands, and things like that. So the first thing that we're going to discuss is the internal etiquette of making dua. The first etiquette is that the person making dua should have tawheed, belief in tawheed of Allah in his heart. Meaning, when you're calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, call upon Allah with belief, with yaqeen in the oneness of Allah. That you know that Allah is one. You know that nothing happens without the will of Allah. You know that Allah is able to do all things. You know that everything is in Allah's control. You know that Allah owns everything. You know that Allah has created everything, and everyone will return to Allah. So this tawheed, when you have that in your heart and you call upon Allah, then you realize that it is only Allah who can help me. It is only Allah who can grant me what I am seeking. It is only Allah who can give me the healing that I want. It is only Allah who can change, who can guide the heart of my child, the heart of my spouse, my heart, my friend's heart, things like that. So the most important etiquette is that we call upon Allah with tawheed. And when we do that, it means that we should also have sincerity, that we only call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَدُعُوهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, that call upon him, making sincere to him worship, meaning your worship should be dedicated to Allah alone. Your dua should be dedicated to Allah alone. You should be asking only Allah. Why? Because you know, you believe that Allah is the only God, the only Rabb, the only one who is able to grant you what you are seeking. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. The second etiquette is that we make dua with attention and focus, meaning our heart should be present. Our heart should be attentive. That we're not just verbally saying the words of dua, rather we are actually asking. We're actually asking. Sometimes we say words of dua that رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. We say the dua, and sometimes we don't even realize what we have said. For instance, in salah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his blessings upon the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, right? We say these words in salah, in tashahud. We make dua that, oh Allah, protect us from the punishment of hell. But so often we are saying the words and we're not actually asking. Why? How? Because our mind is elsewhere. Our attention is somewhere else. We're not thinking about what we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So be attentive, be focused. If someone is talking to you and it's very obvious from the way their eyes are or their hands are busy, that they're not really, really in the conversation. For instance, you're talking to someone and they're looking at their phone, and every few seconds they say, exactly. You feel so disrespected that please, pay attention. I want you to be present. I want you to be here. So the heart should be present. When we are talking to Allah, when we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, call upon Allah while being certain of being answered. And you should know that Allah does not respond to the supplication from the heart of someone who is heedless and occupied by play. Astaghfirullah. And sometimes we are making our morning adhkar, evening adhkar, and we are using our phone at the same time. And we're not even thinking about what we are saying. We're not paying attention. Sometimes we're saying, Allahumma arafini fi badani, Allahumma arafini fi samri, Allahumma arafini fi basari. We're asking Allah to protect our body, our eyes, our ears. And we're not even thinking about that because we're busy swiping through photos or videos and things like that. So this is not respectful. This is not the proper etiquette. Be attentive. The heart should be present. In another hadith, we learn that, in a narration, we learned that one of the scholars, he was asked that, do you not see how frequently people make supplication and how rarely they are given what they're asking for? And he replied that this is because when people make dua, they make dua to show off. And many people who are making dua do so in order to show off, or their hearts are distracted. Whereas Allah listens to the one who makes a supplication firmly from his heart. So sometimes, we wonder that I make dua every day, or I have seen such and such person making dua all the time, or, they say that they are, for example, they say all the time that oh Allah, protect my children, oh Allah, protect me. And now I see that, their child is suffering, or that they are suffering themselves. I mean, we're not judging other people's intention or manner, but the thing is that every person should not just be saying words of dua, but they should be attentive and present in heart when they are making dua. And part of this is that a person means what they are saying. Sometimes we are saying words of dua, but we don't really mean them. There are certain statements that have become so common in conversation. People just say them, that may Allah give us this, may Allah give you that, but they don't really mean it. So mean it. When you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, mean it. Then the next etiquette is that we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with conviction, meaning with the belief in the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears, He gives, He is able to give this to me, He is able to do this for me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that none of you should say, oh Allah, forgive me if you wish, or bestow your mercy on me if you wish, or provide me with means of subsistence if you wish. He should not say that. Rather, a person should be firm in his request, because Allah does what He wills and no one can force Him to do anything. And you don't need to say in your dua, oh Allah, give this to me if you wish. Because of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only give it to you if He wishes. He does what He wishes. He does what He wants. No one can force Him. You cannot force Allah. But on your part, you should express yaqeen, conviction in the power of Allah, in the mercy of Allah. And so your words should exhibit that. Then the next etiquette is that when we make dua, we should not worry about the acceptance of dua, in the sense that we should not be concerned and afraid that, will Allah accept my dua or not? I don't know if Allah will accept. I'm not sure. And then, keep thinking about this, keep wondering, will Allah accept or not? No. Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to say that I do not worry about the acceptance of dua. I worry about dua itself. Meaning, our concern should be about making dua. That I need to make dua. I need to ask Allah. And am I asking or not? How am I asking? Am I asking enough? Your concern should be to make dua properly in the best way that you can with attentiveness, and then leave the results to Allah. And the fact is that when you call upon Allah, Allah responds, He hears. So the moment you call upon Allah, the ijabah, the response is guaranteed. So how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your supplication and how He grants you, that is up to Him. And that is none of your business, really. Your business, your concern is that you call upon Allah. So focus your attention on that. Then the next etiquette is that we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility, with khushur. We learned that the companions were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a journey. And every time they went to a higher place, they would say, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And they would say it out very loudly. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, O people, be merciful to yourselves. Be merciful to yourselves because you are not calling someone who is deaf or absent, but someone who is with you. He hears and he is qareeb. Blessed is his name, exalted is his might. And when you shout, that is the opposite of humility. When you're too loud, that is the opposite of humility. So show humility in your manner also and in your heart also. Then the next internal etiquette is that in dua, when we're making dua, we should express our need and our dependency on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should acknowledge his favors on us. Like Zakariya alayhi salam, he said, Rabbi inni wahana al-azmu minni. Oh my Lord, my bones have become weak, brittle. Washta'ala ra'su shayba. My head is flared up with white. I am so weak. My body is weak. My body is frail. I have become old. And, inside I feel weak. Visibly also, I have become old. I am in desperate need. وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيَّا. And he also showed gratitude. He said, never have I been in my supplication to you, my Lord, unhappy. I've always received something when I have called upon you. And I have always received a positive response whenever I have called upon you. So this is how we should make dua, that we express our need, our dependency on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the scholars, he said that certain ingredients are necessary in dua. What are they? That you express your neediness before Allah. You show humility. You show weakness and desperation. You praise Allah the Exalted. You acknowledge His favors and you confess your sins. And you make dua with attentiveness and with determination. And when you will do that, then dua will be accepted. It will be responded to. Another etiquette is that we call upon Allah humility and with earnestness, and while we manifest our poverty before Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufyatan, innahu la yuhibbul mu'tadin." Call upon your Lord in humility and privately. Indeed, He does not like the transgressors. So here we are commanded to call upon Allah tadarru'an. And tadarru' is to not only lower oneself, but also to be earnest and energetic in making dua. That you are insistent, you beg, and you manifest severe poverty before Allah. So this means that as you are making dua, your face should show that you really want what you're asking for, that you are crying before Allah, right? Your face is not the face of someone who does not care, or someone who is very distant, or someone who does not feel anything. No, feel all of your emotions and express them on your face, through your tears, in the manner that you are making dua. So show tadarru. And Remember how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua that he, he was raising his hands and he kept on calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for so long that his mantle even fell, right? His upper garment fell down. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu picked it up and, you know, he put it on his shoulders and he consoled him. So call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tadarrur. And call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala secretly also. This is another etiquette. In the Quran, we learn, ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ دُعَاءً إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيَّا. That Zakariya alayhi salam called out to his Lord a private supplication. Private supplication. So call upon Allah privately. And that means that you do so in your heart. Or when you are, even making dua with your mouth, with your lips, and you do so in a way that other people cannot hear if they're around you. You don't always have to share with people what you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. You can keep that a secret between yourself and Allah. There are certain goals, wishes, things that happen in your life that you share with people. But everything, you don't have to share with people. Certain goals, prayers, you should keep private between yourself and your Lord. And the person who knows and feels that Allah is qareeb, Allah is near, then that person will call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in private, in secret. And there's so many benefits of private dua. First of all, when you make dua to Allah privately, it shows that you believe that Allah is near, that Allah hears, that you don't have to, say your dua out loud because Allah hears you. He knows you, right? Secondly, it shows more respect. Think about it. If there's a king or a dignitary and you're talking to them, how will you talk to them? Will you shout? Will you be loud? No. In fact, when you love someone and you have great respect for them, you want to spend alone time with them. You want to talk to them in such a way that no third person is there. So when you make dua to Allah privately, this is more respectful. And it is more humble and it is more sincere also. So these are some internal etiquette. Batini adab. Now the zahiri, meaning the external etiquette. Of the external etiquette is that when we make dua in a state of wudu. Remember that wudu is not a condition for making dua, for the acceptance of dua. It's not a condition. However, it is certainly mustahab. It is certainly preferable. If a person is not able to make wudu before making dua, there is nothing wrong with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still hears. When you make wudu and then you make dua, you will feel that you are more attentive. You will feel closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the acts of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated to us, then they are a means of drawing close to Allah. Right? In a hadith, we learned that the slave draws close to Allah. How? By doing the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded him with. And when a person performs voluntary good deeds, he draws even closer to Allah. So wudu is something legislated, right? So when you make wudu, and for example, you pray salah, and after salah you make dua, you are in a state of wudu, you will feel closer to Allah. And so that means that you will have, you will be more attentive. You will be more sincere. You will be more honest, right? Meaning you will mean what you are saying. In a hadith, we learned that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he mentioned to him about how one of his companions, Abu Amir, had passed away. And Abu Amir had told Abu Musa that when you reach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then tell him to ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for me. So Abu Musa told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn in a hadith in Bukhari, that he asked for water. And then when water was brought to him, he made wudu. And then he raised his hands. And then he said, Allahumma ghfir li Ubaydin Abi Amir. That, O Allah, forgive Ubayd Abu Amir. So he didn't just make dua right there and then when he was told, when he was given the message. Rather, he first made wudu, then he raised his hands and he made dua. And you will experience this yourself, that when, you know, for example, you're in some difficulty, you hear some good news, you feel very stressed out, you go and make wudu, you will feel calm, you will feel closer to Allah, and then you raise your hands and you make dua, you will feel like you have unburdened yourself. You will feel like you have, you will feel relieved because now you have handed over your matter to Allah. When you have called upon Allah, when you made dua, you are entrusting your affair to Allah. That, Ya Allah, you solve this for me. So make wudu. This doesn't mean that every time you make dua, first you make wudu. No, this is not a requirement, as I mentioned earlier. This is something mustahab. So we see that this was not the habit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that every time he made wudu before making dua. No. But occasionally he did that. Secondly, another etiquette is that we face the qibla when making dua. Again, this is not a requirement. Rather, this is just something better and something permissible. We learn in various ahadith about how the Prophet ﷺ made dua while giving the khutbah. And when a person is giving the khutbah, they're not facing the qibla. In fact, their back is towards the qibla, right? But the Prophet ﷺ made dua like that. But in some ahadith, we learn that the Prophet ﷺ, he made wudu, then he faced the qibla, and then he made dua. So for example, in a hadith, we learn that once the Prophet ﷺ reached a certain place in Medina, and when he reached there, he asked for wudu water, and then he made wudu, he faced the qibla, and he said, Allahumma inna Ibrahima kana abdaka wa khalilaka, that, O Allah, Ibrahim was your slave and your friend, and he prayed for the people of Makkah for blessing, and I, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am your slave and your messenger. And I ask you, I call upon you, I make dua to you for the people of Medina, that you bless them in their mud and their sar, different measures. The way that you blessed the people of Makkah. And in fact, he asked for double blessing. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't just stand up and make dua, didn't just make dua where he was. Rather, he first made wudu, then he faced the qibla, and then he made dua. So sometimes you can do that, but this is not a requirement. It is not a must. Likewise, of the etiquette is that we spread open our hands when we are making dua. Some people, when they make dua, they put their hands on their face. They completely cover their face with their hands. Some people, when they're making dua, they make a fist, all right, with one hand, and then they put their other hand on the fist. That is also not from the sunnah. The correct way is that we open our hands, meaning our palms should be open. All right. In a hadith, we learn that Allah is shy, he is generous, and he is ashamed to turn away empty the hands of his servant when he raises them to him. So you should open your hands, all right? They should be open and they should be raised, yani, to Allah, before Allah. Some people don't raise their hands. They just place their hands on their lap or, just a little bit in front of them. They raise them very little. No, raise them up, okay? raise them up at least to face level or slightly below. This is how we should be making dua. In another hadith, we learned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you make dua to Allah, do so with the palms of your hand and not backs. Okay, do so with the palms of your hands and not backs. So hands should be open. All right, that is how we should be making dua. Then another external etiquette is that when we make dua, we begin with the praise of Allah, and then we send salat on the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we ask for what we are making dua. And inshallah, in our next session, we are going to talk about the words of praise and glorification, how we can praise and glorify Allah, not only at different times, but specifically when we're making dua, how can we begin our dua with praise and glorification. Then the session after that is going to be about sending salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what that means, how that is relevant to making dua, and when we should do that, what the benefit is. And then inshallah, we will learn about the different du'as related to different themes. So this is how we should be making dua, that we begin with praise, then we send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we ask for what we want. Another etiquette is that when we're making dua, we should use comprehensive words. Meaning, it's okay to make dua for long. However, we should use comprehensive words, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a hadith we learn that he liked al-jawami'a min ad-du'a. He liked comprehensive supplication, and he abandoned other kinds. So for example, in hadith we learn, in the masnoon du'as, we learn about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah for Jannah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-Jannah. Right? Oh Allah, I ask you for Jannah. But he didn't ask for that, oh Allah, I ask you for a house made of white pearls and milk chocolate and, shining crystal on the right side of paradise with five levels. On the first level this, on the second level this, on the third level. No, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not make such dua. He was very comprehensive, right? He asked Allah for Jannah. Because when you have Jannah, then in Jannah you will have whatever you desire. So what you desire comes after that, right? So be comprehensive in your dua, all right? Likewise, and the best way really to make dua is to use the words that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used. And subhanallah, one of the unique gifts the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given was that he was given jawami'ul kalim, comprehensive speech. Any one word comprehends, it is composed of a lot of meaning. So we can use the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for ourselves also. Another thing is that when we're making dua, we should avoid takalluf, any pretentiousness. And in a narration we learn, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that avoid the use of rhymed prose in making dua, because I noticed that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions always avoided it. So when you're making dua, remember dua is not poetry, that every word you're saying rhymes with the next word and everything you're asking for rhymes with the next one. No, you don't have to be super eloquent. This is not an assignment of your ability to express yourself eloquently or in a lengthy way. No, call upon Allah from your heart in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in your own words, but be normal. Talk to Allah in a normal way. Don't be so fake and pretentious. Another thing is that we should avoid i'tida, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam He said that in my community, there will be some people who will exceed the limits in purification and in supplication. So when they're purifying themselves, they will exceed the limits. So for example, in wudu, we're supposed to wash our hands, face, arms, etc. three times. But some people will not be satisfied with three times. They will do so even more. This is a kind of exceeding the limits. And then they will also exceed in supplication. How will this, what does this mean? Inshallah, I'll just talk about that. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Udu'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufiya. Call upon your Lord with humility and in private. Innahu la yuhibbul mu'tadeen. Indeed, Allah does not like those who exceed limits. So exceeding limits means doing the opposite of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us. Right? Allah tells us, ask Him with humility. So exceeding the limits would be to ask Allah without humility. And He has commanded us that we should call upon Him in private. So the opposite of that would be that we are very loud in the sense that we are screaming, we are yelling, we are really raising our voice. So all of this is irtida in making dua. And exceeding the limits in making dua is in two ways. The first is in manner. So for example, a person is shouting, a person is really wailing. Any one is to cry in such a way that tears are falling from your eyes, and that there's a sound like you could hear, like the companions could hear from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the sound of a of bubbling water, boiling water. Just crying, that is very silent. That is permissible. But wailing, and crying noisily while making dua, this is exceeding the limits. Raising the voice, any shouting, that is also exceeding the limits. Or making dua in such a way that a person is not showing any emotion. They're not crying. They're not showing any weakness on their face. They're not showing any humility in their face. This is also exceeding the limits. Then exceeding the limits can also be in words. That, for example, a person is, like I mentioned earlier, that a person says, "Oh Allah, I ask you for a castle, a house in paradise made of white pearls, with a fountain of chocolate, and these many floors, these many levels, and this decoration and that." This is not right. Okay, in a narration we learn about how a great scholar, Abdullah ibn Mughaffal, he heard his son saying that, "Oh Allah, I ask you for a white castle on the right of on the right side of paradise as soon as I enter it." And he was going on, and Abdullah ibn Mughaffal, he said to him, "My dear son, ask Allah for paradise and ask Allah to protect you from the fire. And that is sufficient. You don't need to, exaggerate in your words so much." Likewise, exceeding the limits in wording is that a person asks for something that contradicts what is already established. So for example, a person says, "Oh Allah, make me a prophet." That's not going to happen, because the line of prophethood has ended, right? Or a person says, "Ya Allah, do not resurrect me on the day of judgment." That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect those who are dead, right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you, given you life, He will give you death, then He will also bring you back to life. Or if a person says, "Ya Allah, give me knowledge of the unseen," this is not correct. So these are all forms of exceeding the limits. All right. And we should not exceed limits in making dua. Another etiquette is that when we call upon Allah, we acknowledge our sins and we show regret and we repent and we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn in a hadith that if somebody commits a sin and then says, "Oh my Lord, I have sinned, please forgive me," then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "My slave has known that he has a Lord who forgives sins and punishes for it." I have forgiven my slave his sins. So when we make dua, we should also seek forgiveness from Allah. That should be a part of our dua. Like for example, رَبَّنَا غُفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Right? That, oh Allah, forgive me and my parents and the believers on the day of reckoning. And this shows us another etiquette, that when we make dua for others, we should begin by making dua for ourselves first. You see, in this dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, what did he do? He first asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that اغفر لي, forgive me. And then he said, forgive my parents. And then he said, forgive the believers. So ask first for who? For yourself. Then those who are closest to you. Those who are most deserving of your dua. And then so on and so forth. We learn that whenever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would mention someone and make dua for them, he would first begin with himself. So Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu reported that. Another etiquette is that when we're making dua, we should not be hasty, meaning we should not be hasty for the results. And being hasty for results means that a person abandons dua, that if they don't see the results right away, they say, this doesn't work, forget about it. And they stop making dua. This is wrong. We should not be like this, that we make dua and then we become hasty. Another etiquette is that we should be insistent when we're making dua. And how do we insist? By repeating the words of dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's way was that when he would make dua, as Ibn Mas'ud said, da'a thalathan, he would make dua three times. Now this doesn't mean that every single dua should be such that we are making it three times. No, but the things that you really desire and the things that are really heavy on your heart, the things that you desperately want, then repeat that dua multiple times, but three times is sufficient. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that whoever asks Allah for paradise three times, then paradise says, oh Allah, admit him into paradise. And whoever seeks refuge from the fire three times, the fire says, oh Allah, save him from the fire. And part of this insistence is that we continue to make dua. We don't give up. We don't quit. All right. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he said that the one who continues to knock on the door, then it is hoped that the door will be opened for him. You know, for example, when you really want to enter some place, some room, some part of a building or something, and the door is closed and you really want to go in, you knock once and there's no answer, you will not just give up. If you really want to go in, you will keep knocking again and again and again and again and again until the door is opened. So Abu Darda said that the one who continues to call upon Allah, it is hoped that he will be granted what he is asking for. So be insistent and call upon Allah repeatedly. And this means that we should exert effort in making dua. And take your time when you're making dua. Do not rush. You know, sometimes we think making dua once is enough. No, you make dua every day. You make dua after salah. You know, for example, you are worried about an exam that you have to write, a test that you have to take. Then don't just make dua for it once. Make dua for it, for example, after Fajr. Then again after Dhuhr. Then again after Asr. Then again after Maghrib. Then again after Isha, for example. Right? Then again in Tahajjud. You make dua today. You make dua tomorrow and the day after. And the day after that. Continue to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't stop making dua. Another etiquette is that we should be frequent in making dua. Don't just make dua when things are tough or when you desire something. No, in hadith we learn, whoever wishes that Allah should respond to him during hardship and grief, then let him supplicate plentifully when at ease. when things are good, when they're easy, at that time also call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. Another etiquette is that we should not pray against ourselves or our children or our property. Because you see, sometimes when we get tired and overwhelmed, exasperated, then in our frustration, we begin to pray against our children or against ourselves. Astaghfirullah. This is very wrong. I remember once I heard a lady, she did not like that her daughter ate a lot. And she did not like that her daughter should be, she really wanted that her daughter should be skinny, should be frail. And unfortunately, people think that a girl's beauty is only in her thinness. Subhanallah. And I remember she said something that I could not understand how a mother can say that. She said, I pray that she gets an eating disorder. I could not believe my ears that how can you say that? How can you ask Allah to give your daughter an eating disorder so that she can be skinny? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is so painful. And if we understand how serious, how dangerous this illness is, you're praying against your own child because you're frustrated. You think that she's eating a lot. She's a growing child. She needs to eat. She's eating what her body needs. She's eating until she feels full. Or maybe she's eating so much because she's worried because you're not giving her what she needs. And you're praying against your child. So we should be very careful. Do not pray against your children. The Prophet ﷺ forbade us from doing that. He said, do not invoke curse on yourselves. Do not invoke curse on your children. Do not invoke curse on your slaves. And do not invoke curse on your property. Do not do that. Lest you happen to do it at a time when Allah is asked for something and He grants your request. So be very careful. Sometimes we get so frustrated with all the housework that we start praying against the blessings that Allah has given. We say things like, oh, why did I have to have such a big house? I wish I had a smaller house. I wish I had fewer things. I wish I had fewer responsibilities. I wish I had, a smaller family. I wish, we show frustration with the amount of food. Be very careful. Be very careful. The Prophet ﷺ warned us against that. In Quran, we learn, وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. That the human being calls upon Allah for evil, meaning he makes dua for something evil, the way that he should be asking for something good. And the reason is that the human being is very hasty. Very hasty. We rush. We are very impatient. Another thing is that we should not make dua for something that is sinful or something that means that ties of kinship will be severed. In hadith, we learned that dua is granted as long as the slave does not pray for something sinful or for qati'ati rahim, and as long as he is not hasty. So, for example, if a person says, for example, a woman, she prays that, oh Allah, don't allow my husband to meet his mother. This is not right. You are praying that the relationship between a mother and a child is severed, or that he does not meet his brothers. You are praying for qati'ati rahim. This is wrong. This is not permissible. So we should observe proper etiquette internally, externally, and we should refrain from exceeding limits in dua. And just because we are calling upon Allah, it doesn't mean that we become illogical or that we become disrespectful. Or that we, begin to test the power of Allah. This is not correct. We should call upon Allah as slaves of Allah, as those who are in need of Allah, as those who believe in Allah. So ask Allah properly. Now, another thing that we can do when making dua is that we adopt wasila. We learn in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that وَبْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ, that seek wasila to Allah. And what is wasila? Wasila means taqarrub. It is to attain nearness and closeness to someone. So this means that when we are making dua, we should do and say things that will make our dua closer to Allah, meaning closer to acceptance. So we should adopt a means we should adopt means that will increase the chances of our dua being accepted. And this means two things. One is that we, first of all, do things that draw us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, before making dua, we perform a good deed. For example, before making dua, we make wudu. Before making dua, we perform two rak'ah. Before making dua, we give sadaqah. All right? This is a means of drawing near Allah, and then you ask for something. Okay? Before making dua, you praise and glorify Allah. You send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All right? So this is one thing, that you do something that will draw you closer to Allah, and then you ask. All right? And secondly, this means that when we are making dua, we say things, okay, that will increase the chances of dua being accepted. So, for example, you mention the names of Allah the Exalted, because Allah says, "Walillahi al-asma'ul husna fad'uhu biha." Allah has the most beautiful names. Call upon Allah by those names. So you mention the names of Allah when you're making dua. You another example is that you mention your righteous deeds. Okay, for instance, in hadith we learn about the story of the three men who got trapped in the cave, right? So each one of those men, what did he do? They mentioned their good deeds. For example, one person mentioned that, how he treated his parents very good. And he mentioned a particular incident where he gave his parents preference over his hungry, crying children. So he said that, "Ya Allah, if I did this for you, then you bring me out of this difficulty." And so the rock moved a little bit. The second man did something similar, that he mentioned one of his good deeds. The third man also mentioned one of his good deeds. So you can do that. So these are all permissible wasail, all right? That you first, before making dua, you do something that will draw you close to Allah. And then secondly, in your dua, you mention what will increase the chances of your dua being accepted. All right. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would he say? He would say, "Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika astaghiz." He would mention the names of Allah, and you can mention those names which are relevant to what you are praying for. So, for example, you are seeking forgiveness, right? So you say, "Ya Ghafur Ya Ghafar." Right? You want guidance for your children. So you say, "Ya Hadi." Right? You are seeking healing. You mention the name Ash-Shafi. Right? So the names of Allah that you mention should be relevant to what you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Another thing is that you can request a righteous person to make dua for you. All right, and there's nothing wrong with that. We learned that the people would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would request him that, "O Messenger of Allah, make dua for me." Right? We also learned that Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was the Khalifa, there was a drought. There was no rain for a very long time. So he requested Abbas radiallahu anhu to make dua for rain. And he also made dua himself. He said, "Oh Allah, we used to ask our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to invoke you for rain, and you would bless us with rain. And now we ask his uncle to invoke you for rain." So they asked the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make dua. Now notice over here, they did not say, Umar radiallahu anhu did not say, "Wa inna natawassalu ilayka bi rasulika," that we seek wasila to you, nearness to you through your messenger. No, that's not what he did, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away. Rather, what he did is that he asked a righteous person who was alive at the time, Abbas radiallahu anhu, to make dua. So this is something permissible, that we ask someone who is righteous to make dua for us. But we cannot request the dead or mention them in our dua, that, you know, because of them, oh Allah, grant us something. This would be impermissible wasila. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us from. In the Quran, we learned that the mushrikeen, they would say that ma na'buduhum illa liyuqarribuna ila Allahi zulfa, that we only worship these deities in order to draw closer to Allah. And sadly, there are many Muslims who think that their dua will only be accepted if they mention, that oh Allah, we beseech you through the wasila of your messenger, only then their dua will be accepted. But this is not correct. The Sahaba did not do that. The Prophet ﷺ did not teach that. In fact, he taught the opposite of that. And the Quran also teaches us the opposite of that, that call upon Allah directly. Udu'u Rabbakum. And it does not say that udu'u Rabbakum bi wasilati so and so. All right. Now, in the same line, remember that it is completely permissible to ask someone else to make dua for you. All right. However, what is not correct is that you don't make dua yourself and you only ask other people to make dua. All right. Some people have this habit that they keep asking others, make dua for me, make dua for me, make dua for me. But they don't make dua themselves. So make dua yourself. And you can also request those who are righteous to make dua for you. But the dua that you make yourself should be more than your request for other people to make dua for you. Now, there are also certain times when du'as are, accepted in the sense that the chance of acceptance is greater. And these times are, first of all, between the adhan and iqamah, because the Prophet ﷺ said that du'a made at this time is not rejected. Any when the adhan is made, and after that, sometimes there's 5-10 minutes before the iqamah, before the salah begins, that time is very precious. So make dua at that time. Secondly, in hadith we learn, making dua after salah. Okay? When the Prophet ﷺ was asked about which supplication is most likely to be listened to, he said during the last part of the night and at the end of the obligatory prayers. Thirdly, in sajda. In sajda, in salah, or after salah also, you can go into sajda. In that position, you call upon Allah. Then fourthly, the last third of the night, the end of the night, the time of suhoor, when you're up anyway these days to eat, wake up 5-10 minutes early. And if you're praying with it at the time, you can make dua with that. And if you've already prayed with it, then at least spend a few moments in dua, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us at this time and says that, is there anyone who will ask me so that I will give him? Then the month of Ramadan, we learn in a hadith that in every day and every night of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets people free. People are utaqa, yani they are freed from the fire of hell. And they have da'watun mustajaba. Yani every day, every night of Ramadan, you have da'wah mustajaba, a dua that is responded to. So make dua every day of Ramadan, every night of Ramadan. Also, Laylatul Qadr, right? And then on the day of Arafah, outside of Ramadan, on the day of Arafah. Also, we learned that at the time when rain is falling, we should make dua at that time also. When a person is in difficulty, they should make dua at that time. When drinking zamzam, because the Prophet ﷺ said the water of zamzam is for whatever it is drunk for, meaning whatever you drink it for, that need will be fulfilled. So make dua when you're drinking zamzam. And you can do that before you take a sip. You can do that right after you take a sip of zamzam, and you make dua along with drinking zamzam. Then making dua after the recitation of the Quran, all right? This is also a time when du'as are accepted. In another hadith, we learn that when you hear the crowing of roosters, then ask for Allah's blessing because they have seen an angel, right? So at that time, make du'a. We also learn that in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, that when you visit the sick or the dead, supplicate for good because the angels say ameen to whatever you say. So make dua for them, for yourself, when you visit a sick person, or even when you visit the dead. So for example, you're going for the janazah. At that time, say something good. Ask for good. All right? Then there are some people whose du'as are accepted because of what they're doing. And among them are people who are doing jihad in the way of Allah, and people who go for Hajj and Umrah. In hadith, we learn that those going for Hajj and Umrah are a delegation to Allah. They are the guests of Allah. He invited them, so they responded to him. So when they ask him, he will give them. So their du'as will be accepted. Likewise, a person who is oppressed, their du'a is accepted. The person who is traveling, his du'a is accepted. And specifically, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned da'watul walidi ala waladihi, the du'a of the father for his child. Because you see, mothers make du'a anyway. Mothers are overly concerned about their children. Mothers will forget themselves, and they're always preoccupied with their children, every single one of their children. But fathers typically, you know, they're busy thinking about their work, business, money, outside of the house. And the way many cultures are, fathers are very disconnected from their children. Father should make dua for his child. So when you see anything, in your children that you're praying for, especially remind the father of that child that you need to make dua for your child. And we also learn that children who make dua for their parents, that is also accepted. Likewise, when you make dua for someone who is absent, someone who is not there, then that dua is also responded to. The person who is fasting until they break their fast, and at the time that they break their fast, that dua is also accepted. Those who remember Allah a lot, and a just ruler, his dua is also accepted. The person who makes wudu, remembers Allah, and then goes to sleep. And then, if he wakes up in the night and he makes dua, that dua is accepted. So we should be eager to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such states. Then there are some people whose dua is not accepted. And these are people who don't believe in Allah. Because those who don't believe in Allah are not calling upon Allah. They're calling upon something else, someone else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي الضَّلَالِ. The dua of those who disbelieve is only in error. Meaning it's not going to work because they're not calling upon Allah. Right? In another hadith, we learn that when people do not command what is right and do not forbid what is wrong, then there comes a point where they call upon Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give them what they're asking for, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with them, that they don't care about what is right and what is wrong. Likewise, in another hadith, we learned that the person who commits zina, and you know, their dua is not honored. Why should Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them what they're asking for when they have put themselves so far away from the mercy of Allah? Now, this doesn't mean that if a person is committing a sin or has committed a sin, they're not worthy of calling upon Allah. No, they should, but they should first recognize their sin, they should make tawbah, and they should seek forgiveness from Allah. They should admit their sins, and like that, they draw closer to Allah, and then they call upon Allah. So we should be eager to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should observe these etiquette, internal, external, when calling upon Allah azza wa jal. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.